We're learning about what paradoxical lucidity is in the latest research on dementia. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So sometimes there's a surprising, coherent episode of meaningful communication right before death, and scientists used to label it terminal lucidity. Now there's new funding in the pipeline to examine what happens more broadly as someone who was incapable of interaction is suddenly present and aware of the people in their life. Do you have a loved one with dementia who has experienced sudden moments of clarity, like recognizing family members? What happened? What was it like for you? We're at 800-642-1234. Dr. Basil Eldada is a supervisory medical officer of the Division of Geriatrics and Clinical Gerontology at the National Institute on Aging. Dr. Eldada, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So tell us more about this phenomenon, this paradoxical lucidity. Where are you going with it?
Yeah, so paradoxical lucidity, as you mentioned, is this unexpected return of mental clarity in someone who's been non-communicative as a result of dementia or some other severe neurological or psychiatric condition. And this term is used by a paper that came out, in fact, just today in this month's issue of Alzheimer's Dementia by a group of authors led by George Mashour at the University of Michigan. In addition, we have an accompanying commentary that was authored by myself and my colleagues here at the National Institute on Aging. And we're calling for more research on this phenomenon, because we think that there are several important outcomes that can result from understanding the phenomenon further. Our current models about dementia suggest that this is a relentless condition characterized by a progressive decline in function. But what paradoxical or terminal lucidity tells us is that dementia can be reversible, even briefly. And that would prompt us to ask the question, well, how? If we can answer that question, that might lead us to new insights about how people get dementia in the first place. And it might also lead us to develop new preventive or strategies or treatments for dementia.
How common is this phenomenon? How often does it happen?
That's a great question, and the answer is we just don't know. We have very little information about this phenomenon aside from the few case reports that have been reported in the scientific literature. These are reports that are made retrospectively, so after this episode happened, so we really don't have an accurate figure about how often it happens, and that's one of the main pieces of information that we'd like to determine through these research studies that we're hoping to support.
We're talking to Dr. Basil Eldada at the National Institute on Aging. We're looking at this phenomenon. It's being called paradoxical lucidity. Learning what it is, learning how scientists are approaching their research on it. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Do you have a loved one with dementia who has experienced this moment of clarity? What happened? What was it like for you? And what questions do you have about dementia? Do you wonder about causes and genetics and treatments? Join in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Grace now, joining us from Platteville. Hi, Grace.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I was just calling in. My grandmother, she has dementia, and she just had a very very clear moment. My grandfather very recently passed away. And before that, she wasn't really aware of how unwell he was. But she knew was, and it was like, as he was going, she was able to be there for us.
Oh, wow. What was it like for you to experience that?
It was honestly, it was surreal. Cause a few days before, she didn't know if I was me or my sister. And then as he's passing, she turned to me. She said my name. She said, I know what's happening. And thanks for being here, kind of thing. And it was a lot.
Wow. How long of a time was it? I mean, time in that space is just certainly not the most relevant thing, but how long was that?
It was a few days where it was pretty consistent, and now she's kind of gone back to, she still knows he's gone, but she doesn't recognize everybody all the time anymore. So it's kind of seems like it's slipping again.
Grace, thank you so much for your story. Dr. Eldada, is that what you're talking about with what researchers are looking at?
Yes, exactly. And this is the kind of story that appears in the case reports in the literature, and also from people that we've spoken to who have seen this phenomenon. This is the kind of thing that we're interested in studying further. We just don't know how often this happens, and we also don't know what causes it, what are the factors that lead to it. Is there some way of predicting who might manifest these episodes of lucidity or not? And then your caller also talked about kind of the reactions to this phenomenon. There's a range of reactions from, you know, surprise, sometimes just not really knowing what to do with that that moment of
clarity. She called it surreal.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great term for it. We see a range of reactions in the discussions that we've had with people who have seen this this phenomenon. So your caller points to some really important characteristics and gaps in our knowledge that we need to fill with, and we're hoping to do some of that with these studies that we want to support.
So do scientists have any theories about what might be going on in the brain?
Again, this is an open question, and this is one of the main reasons why we wanted to support these studies, because if we understood what was going on in the brain in individuals who manifested these episodes of lucidity, then that might point to some novel insights into our understanding of how dementia happens. And if we knew that, then we might be able to figure out, you know, ways to prevent dementia or to treat it. But at this point, we really don't know. Everything is really just speculation.
And speculation as to what perhaps are any types of chemical changes going on in the body closer to death, because this seems to be happening in a more terminal setting when the patient is closer to death.
That seems to be the case. That's the impression you get from the current literature. What we don't know is whether this only happens shortly before death. It's possible that this return to lucidity may occur at a period of time farther away from death. We just don't know. And so some of the studies that we would like to support are prospective studies, that is, following a group of individuals who have dementia and then following them for a long period of time to understand when this lucidity, if it happens, when does it happen in relationship to death. I should mention that there is also some literature on end-of-life phenomena in general, this kind of sudden return of energy or activity that happens to people shortly before they die. Some people have called this the end-of-life rally. And it's possible that this paradoxical or terminal lucidity might be just one way in which that sudden return of energy displays itself.
We're talking with Dr. Basil Eldada in clinical gerontology at the National Institute on Aging, looking at these moments of lucidity with dementia patients. 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring this emerging research on what's called paradoxical lucidity. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, and paradoxical lucidity is this unexpected cognitive awareness and communication in patients with severe dementia, especially around the time of death. And this has been observed and reported anecdotally. Now, scientists are saying that if it's confirmed, that this would really challenge current assumptions about dementia and could potentially be a big breakthrough in neurobiology. Do you have a loved one with dementia who has experienced sudden moments of clarity? What was that like? Do you work with people who have dementia? What do you think people should understand about this work? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Dr. Basil Eldada oversees funding for aging research at the National Institute on Aging, and he stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Dennis joining us from Mountain. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I just want to mention my father had Alzheimer's, and a few days before he passed away, my sister went to go see him and brought her two children with him. And he always referred to her as my mother, didn't know that it was her daughter, and he didn't know who the kids were. But a few days before he passed away, it was like he was never sick. And he knew who she was. He knew who the little kids were, which were her kids. And, you know, he had this gloss over his eyes all the time he was sick like that. And all of a sudden, it was all cleared up and like he was never sick.
So even physically, Dennis, even physically, you could see a change in his eyes.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And he was sitting upright in a chair. At one time, he couldn't walk. He couldn't, you know, he really didn't sit up properly. They had to, like, strap him in a chair. But at that time, there was no problem with him. And it was just shocking, actually.
Dennis, thanks so much. Dr. Eldada, there were even physical changes. And as Dennis is saying, he could even sit up in a chair.
Yes, that's right. And we've heard that as well, that the manifestations of lucidity may not be limited to simply just meaningful speech. There may be many other manifestations as well, including, you know, physical activity. And that's one of the many kinds of characteristics that we'd like to understand associated with this condition. Your caller also suggests that, you know, this is something, this phenomenon, it may happen more often than we think. And I suspect that you may have other callers as well this morning who will report the same thing. And what it tells us is that this is probably a phenomenon that's under-recognized. It's transient. You know, individuals with dementia are often left without being observed for long periods of time. Sometimes they're given certain medications that can mask their behavior or speech. And sometimes individuals just may be reluctant to talk about what they've witnessed, because it sounds strange or they just don't want to seem unusual. But our hope is that by bringing more awareness to this phenomenon, more people will talk about it, will recognize it, and we'll just have that much more information to study.
Well, let's bring in Lori now in Mineral Point with a story. Hi, Lori.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, when my mother-in-law fell and cut her leg real bad at the care center, and she had dementia, when she was transported to the hospital, when we got there, she knew who we were. She knew what was going on. It was just a really strange phenomenon to see that, for her not to be very verbal anymore and all of a sudden to be very clear and know exactly who we were and what was going on. And it lasted about 2 or 3 days. And I wondered what was going on in the brain at that time that made her so clear in that particular moment.
And Lori, it sounds like the scientists are going to try to work on that. But after those 2 to 3 days, what happened after that?
Well, she was back at the care center and kind of fell into her normal routine and kind of went back into this dementia state where she kind of knew where things were and who was there, but not really. She kind of went right back to where she had been before the accident.
Lori, thanks so much. Dr. Eldada, what will the research look like on this? Since this is unpredictable, we have the anecdotes here and they pour in. How do researchers get their arms around that?
You point to a set of challenges that we expect with this kind of research. We don't think it's going to be easy, but we think that the potential payoff will be well worth the effort. The kinds of studies that we're interested in supporting are, you know, surveys of staff at nursing homes or caregivers and families who have witnessed these episodes, so we can get more information about the characteristics that went along with these episodes of lucidity, to get more information about what might have caused or what might be associated with the lucidity, and also what are the underlying medical conditions, some genetic factors, other aspects. We're also interested in supporting studies that will follow patients prospectively, and what would be really useful is to actually capture these episodes by audio or video recordings, maybe other types of monitoring, so we can find out in real time what was happening. That kind of information would be really useful. We're also interested in studying, you know, speech patterns of individuals who manifest lucidity. There are, you know, linguistic tools that can be used. There's also this set of studies focus on kind of the ethical challenges of that impact decision making, for example, when a family member witnesses a loved one have a moment of clarity. What do you do with that? All of these kinds of studies are the things that we'd like to support with this call for research funding.
We're talking with Dr. Basil Eldada at the National Institute on Aging, looking at lucidity, paradoxical lucidity, and this clarity that so many people have reported in dementia patients. Your story is as welcome as well at 800-642-1234. Mike joining us now from Antioch, Illinois. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What is your experience?
My dad died of dementia in 1994, but I think it was probably at least 10 months before he passed. I was working at a Milwaukee ad agency, and one of his attendants at the care facility he was at in Michigan called, and she said, "Michael, your father is lucid." So at that moment, they said it. When I got the call, I had to stop a few meetings, and I said, I don't understand what you mean by he's lucid. He's been not even cognitively communicating for over 2 years. And she said, he's lucid. His time and dates will be messed up. And she just said, when you speak to him, just don't cry. Don't get emotional, but he's going to remember you. So I spoke to my dad for 45 minutes, And he was disoriented. It was in January, and he was talking about the Detroit Tigers and calling this one pitcher, Mickey Lolich, a fathead because he always served up home run balls. And I thought, oh, yeah, he's always throwing that slow curve, and he gets knocked out of the park from Dad. And he goes, yeah, he was calling me Hot Dog. That was his pet name for me. And then he actually... this was what threw me. He says, why haven't you called? And I thought, that was a little bit different. And I didn't know if he was cognitively aware that I wasn't calling, because I had not.
No, wow.
There was zero communication. And so we spoke. It was a great conversation. And I said goodbye. And then I cried my eyes out after. And the next morning, about the same time, I called back to the facility in Michigan, and she said, "Michael, he's gone," and he never came back. But so when I was driving to work today, hearing this conversation, I think the doctor on so many levels is so smart about how he wants to go about this.
Thank you so much for the story, Dr. Eldada. Some closing thoughts here.
So, thank you for highlighting this this area of research. We're really excited to support this new area for which there really is very little data. And as your callers suggest, this manifests itself in lots of different ways, and probably more often than we think. You know, your caller points to a really important aspect of this phenomenon. You know, if a person in the end stages of dementia suddenly comes back, as it were, that really forces us to ask, well, where were they before? And then when that lucidity fades away, as it always seems to do, you know, we have to ask, well, where do they go? So, you know, these studies about lucidity can really help to inform our understanding about the very nature of personhood and consciousness in dementia. And, you know, and that's important because of the potential impact on families and caregivers.
Dr. Eldada, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Basil Eldada is a supervisory medical officer of the Division of Geriatrics and Clinical Gerontology at the National Institute on Aging. Coming up, the Trump administration announced this week that it would change the way the Endangered Species Act is applied. We'll talk about it. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.